We have two Bible readings tonight. The first one comes from Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 to 5. Psalm chapter 32, verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Our second passage tonight is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 to 10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ.
Good evening. It's good to see everyone here. If you haven't met me before, my name is James Beck. I'm a student minister here at St. Stephen's, and it's great to see you. If you are new here as well, a huge welcome as well. We love having visitors. Before we get into the sermon, how about I pray? Because I definitely need a lot of help, but we all need help as we look into God's word. And so let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can look into your word. Father, we just pray that we'll have open minds and open hearts as we, look into your word. And Father, we just pray that your spirit will work as we look into the forgiveness of sins, Father. We just pray especially for the joy of the gospel and what Christ has done for us. Amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, you see, words, they will never hurt me. We have heard this saying a lot, but to be honest, I'm going to go a bit of a tangent here. I think this saying is a pile of rubbish. I mean, I feel like we've been taught this from a very young age, maybe to get through life. But I feel like, you know, it's just not very helpful. I'm not sure I really agree with it. Or maybe I'm just a very emotional man. But I believe words do have a huge impact on us. From what some may say to you, or what you read, words can be incredibly powerful. Even today, in the news, people are losing their jobs, their friends, and even being cancelled for what they say. But the thing is, it's not just negative words that impact us, but it's also positive words too. They can impact us a lot. And one of them, I think, is this one. Oh, it's not there. The one I was going to say is, I forgive you. See, a small sentence like that brings a lot of power. I wonder if you have ever heard or read these words before. You see, the impact they have on a relationship can be far-reaching. You see, the impact of these words on a person who has done wrong can be life-changing. And the feeling that something heavy has been lifted off their shoulders is for some a real sense of relief. You see, forgiveness is a freeing word. It gives hope, it gives freedom and beauty to a strained situation and brings a welcomed resolution. Normally seeing a story of forgiveness is encouraging and beautiful, but can I tell you that the Bible shows us the best and true story of what forgiveness looks like? It impacts believers today, and many have come to follow Jesus through this. So let's see what it looks like as we look to the next part of the Apostles' Creed. And you see, the Apostles' Creed is a summary of the core beliefs of the Christian faith. And tonight, we are going to be looking into the sentence, "We believe in the forgiveness of sins." But before we see the forgiveness of sins and what it looks like, we need to understand the word sins, the nature of it, and even the consequences of it as well. And so a bit of a no-pressure refresher, but I think it's important to see. Because you see, if you've been a believer for a bit, or even a lifetime, the word sin comes up a lot, doesn't it? It is the problem and the virus that the Bible explains to us that all humanity has, including you and me. And where can we fully understand this? Well, we can actually look at Genesis chapter 1 to 3 to look at this. See, Genesis 1 to 2 tells us of God who is righteous and perfect, good and loving, who created everything with an order and a purpose. And every day he saw that his creation was good. Still got it. Well done, well done. But you see, on the sixth day, he creates the piece of resistance, you know, humans. And the amazing thing that humans have that no other parts of creation have is that we are made in the image of God. As God mentions, he says, let's create them in our image. You see, this image of God we have as humans shows our importance and the love of God has for us. We are precious to him, and we have a relationship with him, and we are his representatives in creation. We are made to listen and to obey his will and purposes along with glorifying him. But the problem is, for all humans, it kind of takes a bit of a wrong turn, doesn't it, in Genesis 3. You see, humans disobey God's commandments through the temptation of Satan and even the idea of being like God. They disobey the command not to eat from the tree of good and evil. Through this, sin entered into the world. You see, the first three chapters show us as humans that we are loved by God. We are his image bearers. But we have also done wrong. We have disobeyed God and decided to go our own way, thinking we know what's best for us. As Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned." He said, when you zoom in on the doctrine of sin, define it can be complex sometimes. But to get at the heart of it, this is what sin is. Sin is rebelling against God and refusing to accept him as Lord. We have disobeyed him. And as his image bearers, we have missed the mark and fallen short because we wanted to go our own way and glorify ourselves rather than him. Through our disobedience of God being Lord of all, has led even to some severe consequences. But the question is, what are those consequences? While the rest of chapter 3 describes the consequences and punishments that man will endure as a result of sin, like broken relationships with each other, and even the land being characterized as frustrating and painful. But one crucial consequence we see is that humans deserve death. This does not mean just a physical death, but a spiritual one too. If God is all good and the sustainer of life and is the definition of life, then of course turning away from him leads to death. It's kind of like a smartphone and a charger. The charger gives all the life to the phone, right? But what happens when the phone is disconnected from the charger? It might have a few hours, but then it's dead. If you have an iPhone, it will probably only last for an hour, and then it's dead. There is no use to it, and it is to be disregarded. It leads to death. You see, the Bible tells us that there can never be peace between God and sin. As 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, it says, how God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You see, through the darkness of sin and our rebellion, there is no fellowship with God, who loved us and created us. Without God, there is no hope, only death and punishment. The consequence we see here is not just about death, but our own relationship and fellowship with God. It is broken, and without this relationship, there is no hope, life, or love. Just pain, suffering, and death. We have broken our relationship, friendship, and fellowship with the Creator. The consequences of sin shows us a relational aspect, but the consequences of sin also needs to be dealt with. There needs to be punishment. Because you see, the Bible tells us that God hates sin. Since he is righteous and pure, he needs to deal with sin. His righteous anger against sin is not like an uncontrollable one, like we face as humans, but a righteous and divine anger against wickedness. God will judge and punish sin, and the ultimate consequence we all face because our rebellion against God is eternal death and the sufferings of hell. As Romans chapter 6, verse 23a says, for the wages of sin is death. The problem we see here is that sin is horrible. It's blinding. It breaks relationships. It ruins things, and it leads to destruction. It might look pleasing to the eye, but when we see it up close, it always falls short and leads to death. Because of sin, we are cut off from God, who gives life and love, and without him, there is no hope. I hope you see the problem with sin here. I hope you feel the weight and see the seriousness of sin. My question for you is, do you take your sin seriously? The heaviness of sin is important to see because without understanding it, we cannot see the true beauty that forgiveness brings through God's one and only Son. The forgiveness of sins. And as we'll be looking on the screen here, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10, which says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And the other passage I would quickly want to see is this one. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. I wonder if you've ever had, you know, a sigh of relief. You know, when you're feeling the weight of being scared or worried that something's going to happen, and then all of a sudden, you know, you just have this sigh of relief when you know it's not happening anymore. It's done. And you feel like you can breathe again. Maybe, for example, it might have been you thought that exam was on last Tuesday and you freaked out because you haven't studied, but then you realize it's actually next week. So you have a bit of sigh of relief. Or maybe at where you're at shopping center. You're at the shopping center and you have, you know, you're walking around looking for shops, looking around, and then all of a sudden you could not find your keys. You normally leave them in the right-hand pocket. Your stomach drops. But then all of a sudden, sigh of relief because you accidentally put them in your left pocket. Another kind of funny story that happened to me was I was on a call with a friend of mine, and he freaked out. His stomach dropped because he could not find his phone. I said to him, how are you calling me? And I heard a massive sigh of relief and a laughter. And I was like, yeah, he forgot that he's holding the phone while calling me. Let's just say he didn't have his first coffee in the morning, so he might have been a bit tired. You see, these passages here are a sigh of relief for all humanity, a sigh of relief that we do not have to deal with the consequences we deserve because of our sin, because we have been saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. The beauty of the gospel is we don't have to be stuck in our sins anymore. We do not have to face God's wrath, condemnation, and hell, because we can find the forgiveness of sins through God's Son, Jesus Christ. You see, even though we rebelled against God time and time again, God still loved us and put on human flesh to save us from our sins. We were dead because of our sin, but now we are alive in Christ. How great is that? In both of these passages, there is a word that is very important that God gives, and that word is grace. You see, grace means God's favor to the unworthy. It's kind of like a gift. I wonder if you have ever gotten a gift out of the blue and it was nothing that you did, or maybe, for example, the whole year you're pretty much a bad child, but on Christmas Day your parents still gave you a gift, you know, because they really loved you. You see, this gift of grace is nothing that we have done, but it's God's love for the unworthy, that we've been saved from our sins and his wrath. But you see, this gift, this salvation, did came with a cost. The cost was God's only Son, who paid the penalty and was our substitute. You see, Jesus was fully God and fully man, perfect in every way, and died for us, so we can be forgiven and we can live with God for eternity. The response then we need to do is to have faith, to realize our sin, to turn away from it, and to trust the Lord Jesus and confess our sins. As 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. As sinful humans, we need forgiveness. The only way by your sins are forgiven is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so our relationship with God can be fixed. So we have been justified not by our own works, but only having faith in Christ. Our sins have been forgiven through the blood of the King Jesus, so we do not have to face the penalty of hell that we deserve. That is true forgiveness. That is beautiful. The true beauty of forgiveness is seen here, that God has forgiven our sins through his Son. So the question is, how do we respond to this? How do we apply this? Well, I have two ways to respond, and they are shown through two friends of mine, Daisy and Frank. Now, with this application, you might feel like you're one of these two people, because I believe there are a lot of Daisies and Franks here. Maybe not by name, but you'll see what I mean. The first one is my friend Daisy. She's a follower of Christ, and she loves to serve him with all her heart. But the thing is, Daisy feels the weight of her sin, but she sometimes forgets the forgiveness that God gives when you come to Christ. She feels like that her sins are too horrible, too nasty to tell her friends or family. Sometimes she might also hear this little voice in her head saying, yeah, God does forgive some sins, but not that hard sin. You're too far gone. She feels the weight of her sin and thinks that God will never forgive her. On the other side of the coin is my friend Frank. You see, Frank understands that his sin is forgiven in Christ. But the problem is that he has forgotten the weight and the seriousness of sin. There are some actions or thoughts that he has done that would be considered sinful. And even his mates have told him about these issues. But he refuses to listen. You know, a little bit of gossiping, that's fine. A little bit of lying, a little bit of this or that, it's fine. It's okay. Even when confession comes up at church, he doesn't really feel the need in his heart to confess his sins. He doesn't really feel the need as much to say sorry to God. You can see there are a few things wrong here on both ends. Maybe you're like a Daisy. Maybe you're like a Frank. Maybe you kind of flip back and forth in different seasons of your life. But what this part of the creed shows us is that the seriousness of sin, but also the beauty of forgiveness we have in Christ. And as believers, one of the ways we can see and feel both is actually through confession. Confession in prayer to God in our own time, but also when we go into a time confession at church. We can both feel the weight of our sin and realize the internal punishment we should have deserved, but along with that, we should also feel the freedom we have in Christ and to be thankful to him that we are forgiven from our sins and we are not identified by them anymore. I quickly want to say to the Franks out there, let me be frank. Sorry. Let me be honest. It's important to take your sin seriously. God would not have sent his one and only Son to die if it were not serious. Don't fall into the trap of the comfort of your own sin. Knowing and feeling the weight of our sin will make us more thankful to God and to make us more humble and to not take this forgiveness for granted. On the other side, for the Daisies, no matter what you have done, no matter what sin you have committed, if we come to God and confess our sins, He has forgiven us because the Lord Jesus experienced the most painful and agonizing death on the cross so you can be alive in Him. He cried out in agony so you can shout for joy, knowing that your sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done. You see, it's important to feel the weight of our sin, but we should also rejoice in our forgiveness in Christ. And confessing to God helps us to do both. The beauty is, how good is that we have a God who loves us and cares for us, who saves us from our sins so we can be with Him forever. That is beautiful. That is true forgiveness. To finish off, I want to read 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 10, which says this: "This is how God showed His love among us. He has sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Amen.